I recognize that sometimes these lawn chairs might be a good step up from, you know, pews, or not. But there's also something that other traditions do in reading the scripture. They change their position. So I'd like you today to stand with me while we listen to the text. Both to change your position, but also here. If it's a problem, don't worry about it. This is Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And they told him many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good ground and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 50, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Later on, he explained to the disciples, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away what is sown in the heart. That is what is sown on the path. As for what is sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures for a little while. When trouble or persecution arises, on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word and cares, but the cares of the world and the world of wealth choke the word out, and the yield comes to nothing. But as for the one who is sown in the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and yields, and one takes 100-fold, and another 60, and another 30. This is the word of God for the people of God. Be seated. It's hard to beat a good parable. They're short and sweet to the point. They illustrate the way that Jesus is talking with a clarity that is hard to come by. It's that most of the time they're not all that clear, and they can be a little bit there, every which way. We know this story well. It's so simple, so straightforward, but time and again, we keep coming back and saying, well, what about, and does he mean this? We're in good company because even the disciples who were sitting there taking notes had to have it explained time and again. This parable in particular is one that has sat with me because it's one that has often spoke to me in very particular ways. That there's a moral to the story that goes something like, therefore, make sure that you are good soil. Something which I'm not quite sure what I've always lived up to. I remember coming home from camp time and again, having reached the emotional high of Friday evening campfire, where you reach the climax of the evening and that you're about to go home after the performance the next day. I was a music camper. And you're with all your friends, and this is the best place in the whole wide world. And of course you want to live for Christ. Of course you want to raise your hand yet again. Of course this has then made all the difference in the world. And of course I'd always feel the way that I feel right now and live this life from here on out. But then you go home. And then things get ordinary, and things just sort of fade. Rarely did the seed last more than the 2 weeks of from the passion of faith back to a sticky, boring Ohio summer. It would be planted, yes. It would take root all right, it would spring up, yes, but then what happened? Not that this is all bad, not in the least. We need the mountaintop experiences to help bring us ever higher in our mean altitude along the way. Just because you go up and then come back down doesn't mean that there wasn't value in being up. But as we sit with what Jesus lays out, we're often left, okay, what does this mean for me? All which can be quite tricky. If the point of the story is to make sure that you ensure the best yields, what does it mean when I don't? As I gestured to in my Friday email, I wonder where we all see ourselves in this story. How we might evaluate our soil potentials right now. We know our rocky bits. We know our moments of shifting sand. We know the things that are good, bad, and ugly within us. We can wonder where that leads us. But the beauty of a parable, the beauty of a story like this, is it keeps telling us time and again and giving us new entrees into the way of the story. Even this week, I was weighing up until yesterday, okay, do I go this way or do I go that way? So don't be terribly surprised if you hear this coming up again before a while. Sometimes you just get lucky that way. But where I want to go today, though, is a bit of tricky territory, because I recognize that in present company, I have no right to even guess what I'm talking about. I'm going to talk about the sower to a bunch of sowers. And here I am, or I'm amateur at best. Because the one, but the one planted seeds is the one that we don't often pay attention to. It's the one that is there. And I'm guessing I'm going to get some of this wrong along the way. So bear with me. And then you can just correct me during sharing time. There it is. A sower went out to sow in the field. And along the way, all of this happens. It's the part of the story that we don't invest a great deal of time into. And sometimes I wonder why. Because to my hearing, the sower who's going out and sowing the seeds in the field is not terribly good at his job. You only have so many seeds, especially back in the day when it was the leftovers of what was grain. So you want to maximize where your seeds go to get the right yield. But then here he is, just sort of chucking it every which way. Out into the weeds, into the soil, into the rocks, on the path, on the coast. And sure, I get it. Seeds get everywhere. I've driven around here, and there's seeds all over the roads. That's just how it is. But in the historical context, you'd think that you'd really want to be good at where you put your seeds. Every field has its good points and its bad points, and I guess the GPS hasn't changed that all that much. But what do we make of a sower who can't even come close to give you a return on the investment? Isn't the British yield the whole point? It makes me curious. But then I remember. The sower in this story is not there to talk about us. And really, this parable is not necessarily to talk about humans per se. It's set to say, you know what, this is how it is. But instead, it's trying to talk about the kingdom of God and the way that the kingdom of God works. The middle bit, those nine verses I draw from the middle of the reading for the sake of brevity, makes this clearer because Jesus goes out of his way to explain to the disciples the basic truth of how people do and do not hear the kingdom. And it just seems to be the way of the thing. And what Jesus, the sower, is saying is, and is instructing the disciples who will be the planters in training, if you will, is that it's the nature of the environment that the seed gets sown all over the place. And some will take root, and some will flower, and some may flourish. But he's speaking only in truth and in the analysis of saying, you know what? Because people are people, not all things are going to happen. But the kingdom of God is going to be planted every which way, no matter what. And when I hear it that way, to me that is good news. Because Jesus is not trying to corrupt the disciples' aim as planters, nor elevate one yield above the other, or even offering tips on selecting the best seed to be crossed for hardier growth down the line. No, he's saying the kingdom of God is like this. It gets sown everywhere, and what comes by the grace of God. Thanks be to God. The yield that is mentioned is not necessarily the measure of success. Jesus is illustrating basically just how things really are. And he's just saying that the yield will happen, and the harvest will be known. This is the way of the kingdom, and this is the way of our lives. Try that we might, we know that our soil is patchy at times. Sometimes we are ready and waiting for the word, and sometimes it will grow fully and deeply and root fully in our lives. But other times, our worries about worthiness and idealism and all the rest comes along and snatches it out of us. and things don't quite grow in the way that we are there. And so other times, we might be feeling packed down and compacted, and we know that the sea can't even penetrate. But yet the seed is scattered all the same. The seed is planted, intended, and anticipated, and the point isn't necessarily does it grow, but rather is the seed given. We can nurture our garden, we can protect it and weed it, but we also need to remember that at the end of the day, it is God who grows the Word of God in our own hearts and in our own ways. We bear responsibility for embracing what we can, but we also need to remember that it is the best farmer, the loving God who gives the growth, who builds the harvest, and invites us into change. Even if it happens not to be our particular season of fruitfulness, and there are reasons why that may be, we are invited to trust the sower of the word that plants time and again, visiting all soils in all times. And that is good news. But it's also a challenge. Because just as God is the sower and Jesus in the Word is the seed, we are also disciples. We are invited to plant. We are invited to scatter the seed where it may. We are the ones involved in bringing the way of the kingdom into light in this time and this place. I have to say that sometimes I really think that I have an invisible particle collar that just sort of superimposes itself on me. Or at least some sort of flashing neon light that calls out to anyone in need to say, aha, here comes Bryce. I know he's good for it. Because time and again, people will cross the room and say, excuse me, could you help? Will you listen? And I'm sorry to say that there is no course at AMBS that tells you the right way to figure this out. I have no more wisdom about what is best to respond in charity or not. I don't know. And sometimes this job has taken me to places I haven't even expected to go, simply because, you know what? I grew up around Mennonites. I know that they're generous. You are the only Mennonite in the phone book, so I call you. It's a tough witness to live down. Sometimes I say no, sometimes I say yes, and I know wiser along the way. But I do take solace in a story like this, because it reminds me that the point of the kingdom isn't necessarily to get it right, to put it in the right place, to have it grow, to have it mature. Although thanks be to God that that does work out. Rather, the calling of the disciple as a sower is to simply sow. To simply put the seed out there, and to simply trust that what growth was meant for it will happen. Sometimes, and with good reason, very good reason, we're far more given to holding on to our seeds rather than to sprinkling them on the ground. I wonder what it might be like and where it might take us if we thought of our work in the kingdom a bit more in this generous way of the sower. And where it might take us along the way and the harvest we might see out of it. We want to see yield. We want to see growth. We want to see change, of course. But maybe that's not always the point. But friends, we serve the great sower whose words fall within us where they will and whose harvest is beyond measure and beyond prediction. We're invited to know both that the harvest in us is planted and will be planted and will be maintained and will come to fruit. Thanks be to God. But we're also invited to risk sowing seed and seeing where it takes us. May we embrace the seed that is ours and give thanks for the growth, and in turn be invited to broadcast the word of hope in God's good grace and then the promise of the kingdom already here, yet still coming evermore. Amen.